The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went on to say to the Jewish crowds, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. But the Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? But Jesus said to them, Amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. And this is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord. The Word of God and the liturgy invites us today to reflect on the Eucharist, the center of our worship, the substance of our belief as followers of Jesus Christ. We're not just persons of the Word, we're persons of the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. And this would require much more time than we have here, but let me frame into this short time given to us to speak a little bit about the pastoral application of this doctrine and theology of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. One of the most painful things I will come upon in the pastoral life is a Catholic person who wants to go to the Eucharist. I want to receive communion, but somebody told me I don't qualify. There is some impediment and something in my life that tells me I am not allowed to receive the Eucharist. So let me speak a little bit about the pastoral value involved in who qualifies to receive the Eucharist, even though just before communion, with one voice, we all proclaim, Lord, I am not worthy. And yet we wonder if everybody is really worthy, or they have to be worthy in some way. We're looking at the Gospel of John here in our Gospel reading. The Gospel of John is different from the others in many ways, but especially dealing with the Eucharist. At the Last Supper in the Gospel of John, there is no theology of the Eucharist. We don't have, as we have in the other three Gospels, Jesus taking bread, and this is my body, taking the cup of wine and say, this is my blood, does not appear in John's narrative of the Last Supper. What does appear in John, and only in John, is the washing of the feet. Now, scholars looking at this begin to wonder, why is it that John's Gospel doesn't have the theology of Eucharist as the others do, but John's Gospel has the washing of the feet? What does this mean? Scholars conclude that The Gospel of John comes very late, shaped somewhere around the year 90 or 100. The other Gospels will come much earlier, maybe around the year 60. So John's Gospel is a very late Gospel in terms of the frame of time in which the Gospels are shaped. Scholars believe that by then, in the Church of John, there was tension, there was division, and therefore, the Gospel of John will say, before you think about the Eucharist, and before you approach the Eucharist, you must wash one another's feet first. An act of humility, an act of reconciliation, an expression of compassion, a statement of inclusion, you must wash the feet of one another. And in that way, we will unite as one people, and now we are prepared to receive the Eucharist. That's the theology of the Last Supper in the Gospel of John. I've often wondered the tension that was in the Gospel of John. We have tension in our church today. In many areas, we have tension. Do we have the Mass in Latin or in English? Do we receive communion on the tongue or on the hand? Do you have to kneel for communion? Does the priest have his back to the people when he prays, or does the priest face the people? Do we emphasize the sacrifice or the meal? And yet, the sacrifice and the meal all belong to the theology of the Eucharist. But somewheres we are inclined to create division and tension. And maybe we need to wash one another's feet. In Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 5 there in the Sermon on the Mount, verse 23, Jesus tells his followers, if you come to the altar with your gift and your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar, go be reconciled with your brother first, and then come to offer your gift to the Lord. What does this mean to us? Rollheiser daringly suggests that maybe if pro-choice people would wash the feet of pro-life people, and pro-life people would wash the feet of pro-choice people, and then we begin to talk, maybe we'd make more progress. Some time ago, I mentioned that the teaching of the church, what is acceptable in the theology of the church, does not include the death penalty. For a state to claim to take a person's life doesn't fit the theology of Jesus Christ. Having said that, I got significant opinion coming back to me that I was preaching politics. We do have a division of opinion. I mentioned a while back about undocumented persons who are not criminals, hardworking, decent people, how we should become compassionate and hospitable, and some persons called me with a different opinion. So we do have differences. The washing of the feet is not to resolve the differences, it's to respect the differences so that we approach the Eucharist with inner peace, with a sense of tranquility, with a sense of belonging. I mentioned in a homily last week or the week before that Pope John the 23rd, anticipating a division in the council, Second Vatican Council, which he called in 1959. In essentialibus unitas, in dubius libertas, et in omnibus caritas, in essential things, let there be unity. In doubtful things, let there be freedom. Said in omnibus caritas, but in all things, let there be love. So when we come to the Eucharist, we must experience the Eucharist as a sacrament of unity. We all belong to the same Lord. We all belong to the same table. So let me look at this now. Yeah. Who met Jesus? The leper who knew he was a leper. He met Jesus. The prostitute who was outcast, who knew she was a prostitute, she met Jesus. The tax collector who was reviled and knew he was reviled, he met Jesus. It's the broken person that meets Jesus. John Powell, some years ago, wrote a book entitled, Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am? I'm afraid to tell you who I am, because if I tell you my real person, maybe you won't like me. If I tell you my weakness, my humanity, my inner person, maybe I'll be rejected. So I cover myself with masks, where we have divisions. We wear masks. We don't bring our humanity, our true person. We have divisions about the blessing of gay couples. We don't look at our own humanity. We wear a mask of righteousness. We wear a mask of popularity. We wear a mask of importance. Your title, what's your title? I listened to a breakfast talk recently, very inspiring, about this man who, somebody said, tell me about yourself. And he told us about his family and his business. Very powerful, very powerful. But he didn't tell us about himself. The real inner person, the broken person. That's what John Paul speaks about. When we stop and look at our inner person, we find that we're all in need. It's those who are hungry that find Jesus. Those who are broken need compassion. Those who are struggling with sin, they need forgiveness. That's the real person, not the mask. We all want to look good. I mean, I'm the poster priest for retired priests. You saw all that stuff in the pews there. And I told him, I'll tell you, we need a picture. And I said, well, I'll send you my first communion picture. I looked very good in my first communion. I said, no, you gotta show us that you're old. And you're gray, and you're desperately in need. And I said, okay, let me stand here. They took my picture. Okay, that's me. Yeah, that's the real person. But we go through all these shadows and concealing our real person and covering up our real person. We want to look absolutely incredible, you know. It's a mask. We can live that in the world if we wish, but you cannot live that when you come to Eucharist. When you come to the Eucharist, you come as a sinner needing to be reconciled. You come as a lonely person needed to be accepted. You come as a leper needing to be healed. You come in your humanity. Pope Francis put it this way. He said, "The Eucharist is not a prize for the perfect. It's food for the journey." So when you come here to celebrate our belonging to one another, we're celebrating our humanity. And when the Spirit calls you to share the Eucharist, the Spirit is calling you in your humanity. Does that sound okay? That sounds real. It sounds real about me. I mean, I'm a Monsignor and I'm a holy person, but there's a real person beneath that. And that's the real person. You know, when I was asked to be the poster priest for retired priests, I said, "Look, that's the last thing I need. That's my picture up there." But then I talked to my best friend, my priest friend, and he said, "No, you owe it to the retired priest." And I said, "Oh, okay, I'll put myself out there." But see, to be human, there's something very loving, there's something beautiful about saying, "I need you. I need your forgiveness. I need to come into God's presence as a broken person saying, lift me up, renew me in spirit. Give me confidence. Heal me. Give me belief in myself, in my humanity, not in my mask. Tell me that I am loved. And I am accepted in my humanity." Do I need to hear that today? Yes. Do I need to hear it again tomorrow? Yes, I do. I think I mentioned to you some years ago, this priest told me that he had this couple came to see him. They were married for some years, but they were having problems in their marriage. And he said to the wife, he said, "Now, what appears to be the biggest problem?" And she said, "You know, he never tells me he loves me. But he comes home and he's complaining about why wasn't this, why wasn't that done, and why wasn't that done. If only he told me he loved me, I would be empowered to do all the things that he would like." So he looked at the husband, he said, "Well, what do you think about this?" And he said, "Look, Father, it's like this. When we got married, I told her I loved her. I told her if I ever changed my mind, I'd let her know." So what do you do with that? I mean, I need to hear, honestly, I must tell you now, I pray a lot. I need to hear the voice of Jesus saying, in the fullness of your humanity, in your brokenness, in your limitations, you are loved. In the fullness of your humanity, you are welcomed to the table of the Lord. In the fullness of your humanity, you belong to the sacrifice that Jesus Christ offered on Calvary just for you. And now, Tomás Halyk, this extraordinary Czech theologian, in his book, Christianity in the Afternoon, asks this question, and I leave you with this question. He said, "Tell me who you are. I mean, who you are, really. Tell me who you are, and I will tell you who is your God." What do you think about that? Tell me who you are, and I will tell you who is your God. Welcome to the Eucharist, the table of love, the table where you hear the voice of God saying, "I love you, you belong, I bless you, heal you, encourage you, lift up your spirit in all your foolishness and ridiculous, all my foolish, but I belong to the table of love. Amen.